Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Our next guest is one of the best in the business, one of my favourite comedians, and going bonkers all around the world right now in the middle of a live tour. And I've got to say, his latest Netflix special, High and Dry, is pound for pound as funny as I've seen. Make him welcome. It's Jim Jefferies.
Jimmy. I'm meant to be on tour in the UK right now, but I've come back to do a show at Luna Park. So I just flew. I've literally flown in for 24 hours. My next gig's in Sheffield, man. So, and my last gig was in Newcastle, England. So I don't know why I'm here, but it's good to be here.
You've got a manager who's drunk. Whoever's putting this together is pulling the piss, mate.
I woke up very early. I've been watching Australian TV. I've learned all the news that's gone on. 11 days for concussion. Mark, yes. That means you would have played about two games a season, right?
Do you reckon Mark should leave his brain to science?
Or just a bloke who needs a doorstop. Doesn't have to always be to science, you know, just anyway. No, you could leave it to science. Have you thought about doing that, Mark, actually?
Well, Jimmy, I don't know, Jimmy. When you're gone, you're gone, aren't you? So what's the point of if it's going to help somebody else down the track? And this has been sincere. I spoke to Mick about this on the show, you know, through the week last week and just even as yesterday. And I reckon I had 15 concussions in 15 years of first grade and probably one a year I would average. But towards the end of my career is when I noticed it most because I remember the last one I got, I was playing against the Sharks and I went to tackle a bloke called Nathan Long who – not a big bloke, back rower.
Great and porn star.
Yeah, it had the long blonde hair. Yes, he's a porn star. Yeah. And I watched, and I my head just glanced his hip, and didn't feel like anything. But I was concussed for about 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And I looked at the game. I looked at it back on video, and I thought, nah, that's I've got to think about really sincerely giving this game away. And the next week was my last game against the Raiders, and in a semi final. So yeah, it's fair dinkum. As you know, being in the States with the grid on, it's the same, isn't it?
What do you think about the 11 days, though? Because why not make it 14 days? 11 days sounds like nothing. Because like if you did it 7 days, they couldn't play next week, right? True. 11 days, because sometimes you play twice in 12 days, right? You might play a Sunday night game and then a Friday night game, and you know what I mean? So it's just, what difference does 7 to 11 make?
I don't know, Jimmy. And I think you make a great point. And I think what will happen is when we see concussions like Kalen Ponga last weekend against the Tigers, I think we're going to see a month will be, you know, the protocols. You just sit out. You sit out for 4 games.
But also, could you see people abusing this rule? Like, yeah, they want to go for away for a couple of weeks with their girlfriend. Oh, my pupils aren't dilating the right way. Could it be the ecstasy? Nah, it's probably the concussion, I reckon.
Hang on. You do this every spring carnival. You need 11 days off. Hold on. Have you been concussed yourself, Jim? Is this common stand-up circles?
I've been concussed a couple of times. I was punched on stage famously at the Manchester Comedy Store. And there was another time where I was at the Nottingham Johnlers in Nottingham, England, and I'd finished my gig, and a guy came up behind and smashed my head into a table, and I was out cold. And I had a fracture in my skull there. And I woke up going onto the ambulance with a whole lot of bachelorette party, all with bunny ears on them, just staring over it going, that guy was an arsehole, he was an arsehole. All right. And I thought, this is heaven, is it? A whole lot of British slappers with bunny ears. So I got concussed. And I got to give it up to the British medic, like the NHS was, because Jim Jefferies is my real name. My real surname's Nugent. I use my middle name, stage, you know, showbiz, right? And the NHS never checked my ID, had me in hospital for 2 weeks because I had a fractured skull. And then when I left, I just walked out with a bandage around my head like I was Basil Fawlty. And no one said nothing.
Man, I had to go to hospital recently for say vasectomy. I say penis reduction.
And I just had a vasectomy. You had one as well?
Yeah, I did. Oh, we should get together and have a vasectomy party, like a gender reveal.
We should come in each other's eyes and see if it stings. Because they reckon because they can't swim because they think it's the egg, you see. So they swim towards the eyeball, so it doesn't hurt anymore. And my wife's not willing to participate in science. So
not even for research purposes. This is unbelievable. No, so I went to hospital, right? So they knocked me out. But the rule is that you have to leave the hospital in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to escort you off the premises. So I left the hospital looking like Grant Hackett disembarking a long-haul flight, which is generally how it happens.
How many is in Australia? Because in Australia, in America, you have to ejaculate 30 times after the vasectomy to make sure your pipes are clean. And as I was leaving, the doctor actually said to me, he goes, and the record's 17 days. He just said that to me. And I like a challenge, but it was slightly scabbed up the first 7 days. So you really only get 10 days to do that, yeah. And then, you know, the people... You know.
Well, here it's 20, so he goes to me, he goes, oh, you got a bit of homework. Well, what's that? He goes, you got to get 20 off before you're good to go. And so my girlfriend goes to me, so on Friday, she goes, how we got? He goes, oh, 8. Then she comes back on Monday and goes, okay, we better get on to number 9. I said, I think you'll find it's number 12.
Well, once you put it in the cup, right, you got 6 hours to get it to the doctors, and I was leaving for this tour, and I had to get it done, and my poor assistant, Jack, I had to call him over. I knocked one out in the room, gave him a cup of semen, and sent him on his way. That's the last job I gave my assistant before I went on tour, because I didn't have time to do it myself. But that's what you're paying for.
Now weaving baskets in the country. He can't be found.
I want to talk quickly about, I've been watching the morning, you know, Good Morning Australia or whatever the shows are, sure. The Today
Sunrise
Show.
Sunrise or Today.
All the different ones, right? So so the new Calvin Klein ad has just come out, right?
Yes.
And it's got the guy who played Kick-Ass, he played John Lennon in a movie or whatever, and he's completely ripped and it's just him dancing around in his underwear. Mm. Look, all the female hosts of morning TV in Australia should be ashamed of themselves. They're all like this. Play it again. Play it again. Oh, look at his abs like that. Now, I'm all for it, right? But imagine if Margot Robbie did an underwear commercial and Koshy was there going, one more time. Look at her abs. Play it again.
Pitching a tent in his suit pants, he would be in a world of trouble. That's not a bad ad. I haven't seen it yet, but Kat, have you seen it?
I have seen it, and I have played it again in my own personal reflection.
Even right now, what Kat's doing, we can get away with. We're just thinking, I should point it out.
Hey, Kat, Jimmy, what did you make of
that? Watching that ad.
What did you make of the? What did you make of the Oscars? Did you enjoy the Oscars?
I like the Oscars. I like that short round one. You know, that was a very sweet moment. And I always thought with Short Round, like, okay, so he was in one Indiana Jones movie and then he wasn't in the third movie. By the next, it was 5 years later, the next movie, he would have been like 12. It's like Indiana Jones found him and then just flicked him. He found him on one of his many adventures in Thailand. And, you know, it's like imagine Indiana Jones trying to introduce Short Round to a woman. They're like, who's this? Oh, that's Short Round. Is that your adopted child? No, he just works for me. What do you mean? Like you have an 8-year-old who works for you? How does he work for you? Well, you see, sometimes he drives the getaway vehicle. His legs are too short, so I tied boxes to his feet. Where's his parents? Huh? Never thought to ask.
You've lost your mind.
I hope in the new Indiana Jones movie he just shows up. Just like,
remember me?
Yeah, where have you been?
I thought you loved me. Hey, now what are you going to do at Luna Park?
I'm doing a show called the Humankind Festival. Look, man, I was in Britain and they're flying me in. I'm going to do the show and there's some other things. There's Wilm Hof is there, the guy who does the ice baths.
Wilm Hof, yeah.
Yeah. So, we have a lot of crossover in our fan base. me and Wilm Hof. I've never even heard of Wilm Hof. That's what they said to me. They go, you're going to get up and a bloke before you is going to be doing ice baths with the audience. So I thought...
I'd like to see you do an ice bath. What's your pre-show? Because you're one of the great stand-ups, one of the great stand-ups in the world. And I've been doing a little bit. I've been putting my toe in the water with a few mates and doing some shows. And our pre-show warm-up is we sing, all get together and sing Tenderfield Sadler.
Oh, I love Tenderfield Sadler.
I know. And it gets us in the mood and we all get emotional and we get, you know, we hug each other and then we run out. What do you do? What's your pre-show backstage, lift the skirts for us, show us what you do.
I'd like to sing Tenorfield Sadler, but many, I don't know what I do before. I've seen like Kevin Hart, he gets all of his support acts together and they all put their hands in the middle and they go, everyone wants to be famous, but nobody wants to do the work. Everyone wants to be famous, but nobody wants to do the work. And he does this with like unfamous people. Like if they were all famous, there's some theory in this. So he's all calling them bludgers, basically.
He's calling them lazy.
Yeah, he's calling them lazy bastards as he does the thing. And then they all go, all right, Kevin, you out there. But I did a documentary many years ago. And you know when you do like a talking head documentary and they ask you a question and then they cut with everyone answering that question. And they said, and it was an American documentary, so pretentious people, you know. And so they said, when do you know when to get off stage? And every comic had an answer that went like this. There is a moment when you say a joke and you could just hear the laughter ping off the back of the wall and it comes back to you. And you go, that's the laugh I've been looking for all night. Right? And I said, it's when I need to wee. That is how, like, well, I used to drink so much on stage. That's how I knew the show was up. I need to piss everyone. Good night.
Well, when I was starting out and doing tours around regional Australia, I knew when the time to leave was when the cans started raining down on stage at Bathurst or Armidale. We were doing a show in Bathurst. I pulled up one day and I said to my manager, keep the engine running.
Yeah, it makes you tough, regional Australia, man. One of my first gigs was the gold mining towns of Western Australia.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, Kalgoorlie. Like you've been to these bars, Kalgoorlie, where there's a skimpy working behind the bar. Americans don't know about skimpies, but if you're listening in your car and you don't know what a skimpy is, it's a topless woman who's, it's not a strip club.
No.
It's just a topless woman who's pouring pints. Right? And you might go, why do we need that? I'll tell you why you need that. Because without her, it's a gay bar. Right? It's a whole lot of blokes dressed like cowboys. But the fact that there's a pair of tits in the corner is all above
makes
level.
It okay.
I remember I had sex with a girl in Kalgoorlie, and I remember like the next day, I was about 20 years old. And I remember the next day that a couple of blokes who were picking us up going, oh, we hear you had sex with Erin. And I'm like, yeah. But it turned out like Erin was the girl of the town. Like their disappointment had flooded. I've been working on her for years.
You come in here, you city boys.
You can take out Erin. Erin's now the mayor of Kalgoorlie.
Mate, it's a pleasure to catch up with you as always. How are your bears going? How are your bears going? Have you got a campaign up? Are you doing it?
Here we go. Cats out of the bag, right?
I keep on saying
to you that we can't. Look, it's two places for me. It's Perth or it's the Pacific Islands.
Yep.
Right?
Wow.
The Pacific Island Bears. All we want is to keep the badge, keep the colours, and two games in North Sydney. And I don't care which way we go. I'm leaning towards the Pacific Island because I think the youth program there would be so good that we'd be unstoppable. But because there's not a lot of youth players over in Western Australia, but we can change that as well. Now, Mark, you played in Perth, and that was what, 25 years ago?
95, yeah.
Yeah,
95 to
97. Okay, so then it was in its infancy, like watching rugby league over there. But since then, the population of Perth's doubled.
Yep.
And it's got a huge amount of British people there and a lot of expats from like the East Coast. I think Perth is primed to have a rugby league team.
Well, you know what, Jimmy, they're talking
about... Will you be an owner?
I would like to be an owner. I'd own like 5%. I don't have enough money.
You're not Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I don't have the whole team. But I have enough that I just want to sit... I'm good friends with Russell Crowe. I just want to sit in a box with a glass divide between me and Russell and occasionally just niggle at him. That's all I'm in it for.
And it'll be the only club in the competition where the owner's on an 11-day concussion protocol. Mate, we're so happy you're dropping by, and I believe we're going to be talking to you on a regular basis, which we love because...
We love you, Jimmy.
We adore you here. You're amazing, and it'll be great to have you on board. Thanks for swinging by. I want to mention your Netflix special again. I know it's your fifth one. They're all outstanding. If you like this one, go back and look at the others. But congratulations. That High and Dry is an absolute bona fide cracker.
Thank you very much.
I want to mention the podcast too. I Don't Know About That with Jim Jefferies. Give it a run. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, lads.
Jimmy.
Appreciate it.
Go the Bears.
I got news for you. Oh, my God. Global news coverage.
The news of the world.
That's right. We're going around the globe to find the stories that everyone's talking about. Let's go to Britain. MG, Britain's biggest family, have 22 children together. Wow. The parents at the head of Britain's biggest family, with 22 kids in whole, have opened up about the difficulties their marriage has faced.
Oh, really?
Geez. What, there's a bit of fighting going on in that house, is it?
Well, it's a bit of a mess.
Meet the Radfords, Britain's biggest family.
Ryan, pack it up. It's just chaos.
And the babies just keep on coming.
Oh, half the time I think I've gone insane.
Definitely no more.
Wait, 22 kids. Jeez Louise. To the backyard cricket would be good, wouldn't it? That'd last 5 days. How big would their hot water system have to be? Get out of the shower. It'd be like a queue. It'd be like army barracks. So that is unbelievable.
10 boys and 12 girls wow. From the same couple who were married in 93. That's amazing. That is 22 kids. I mean, I've got five of them to drama. Oh,
really? All I'm saying for her sake is I hope there were a few Caesars in there. Well, that's not going to end well. And I think I speak on behalf of all the children when I say, shit inheritance, Mum and Dad. How the hell do you split that? Oh man.
I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine. I know
that must have. What do you get to 21 and you go, let's just have one more. Let's just have one more.
So their oldest is 33, their youngest is 2. So
that's, Hey, here's a tip, guys. Rhythm method. grab a dinger. geez. Here's one for you. Let's go to Bali. Tourists are furious over moves to ban foreigners from riding motorbikes in Bali. This is a slap in the face to all Australians who want to get injured in a foreign country.
This is un-Bali-like, isn't it?
It's my time-honoured right and privilege to get gravel rash, sent to hospital, possibly get gangrene, and maybe even have my leg amputated. Who are you? What government can stand in my way? Unbelievable. And just, on a practical level, how am I supposed to get home now when I'm drunk?
That's right. That's right. After 14 Bing Tangs.
How many bottles of Dettol did you go through in? Oh. It's the only time I ever buy Dettol. In Bali.
We go to Bali.
If I can't burn my calf on the exhaust pipe of a motorbike in Bali, what is the point of living?
If I can't drag my toes along the Bali streets after a drink, I'm not going.
We are now going to Spain, where two people have been jailed for stealing 45 bottles of wine worth 1.6 million euros. That's $2.5 million. From a restaurant. Wow. I love that. In Australia here, we have the great bookie robbery where you knock over some bookies and take their cash. In Spain, you have the great red wine robbery. 45 bottles. Gee, do you reckon before they took them, they decanted them? All right, grab the bottles. Well, we can't just run out yet. Why? We have to decant them.
Let them breathe.
Let them breathe. Someone, hey, Rocco, sniff the cork. Make sure they're good.
How's that on your palate?
Mate, what do you do with that? How do you off 45 bottles of, unless that's on commission.
That's on the nod. Yeah, probably.
Well, that's, don't you reckon that's sus? Can I tell you, this is a true story. It shows you how evil women can be when they've been slighted. But there was the case of an English woman who found out her husband was cheating. Mm-hmm. And the thing he loved most in the world was his wine collection. She went and got his wine collection and she dropped it off like a milk run and put like 2 bottles out the front. It was worth millions and millions of dollars. So she put 2 bottles out the front of everyone's door in her neighborhood. He came home, found out, and then ran around hysterically door knocking people who were going, we used that for some pasta. That bottle was worth $200,000. And she, I mean, that's pretty good, don't you reckon?
That's real good.
Yeah,
that's,
he never cheated again.
I know another story of a woman who found out her husband was cheating, and so she put, well, you know, one of those for sale signs at the front?
Yeah.
For sale. Husband is a dead set asshole. This is his house. I will take the lowest offer. Make me an offer. I will sell it today. And she sold the house while he was overseas for much nothing. How good is that? Do we have time for one more?
Yep, roll it out.
Don't make women angry, boys. Don't make them angry.
The truth.
That's the moral here. Let's finish up in South Korea. We're about to go to a four-day working week. You know what I mean? We already work 38 hours. Everyone seems to realise we want to work from home. Yep. South Korea, they've pulled the other rein. They're pushing for a 69-hour week. You know, from what I know about South Korea, I'm not sure. I'd rather live in North Korea. If they're going to make me work for 69 hours, how many hours is that a day?
That's a lot.
Round it up to 70 divided by 7. You know, that would be 10 hours a day if you're working a 7-day. So roughly.
About 14 hours a day.
Oh, sorry. Didn't realize we had Stephen Hawking working on the show with us.
You asked the question, I answered it.
No, I will not say that.
Someone went to university. I did, by the way.
And look where it got you. Standing here, back announcing Bon Jovi songs.
I'm pressing buttons, and you really
made the most of that education. You're like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, look.
In a shitty Triple M studio.
You're the Rain Woman. It should be a movie about you, Rain Woman.
We all make career mistakes.
All right, get me out of here, brains. And we've been joined live in the studio by Dom Knight, friend of the show. He comes in on occasions and brings us up to speed with the type of things we need to be across. And the first thing you want to talk about is nudity.
Yeah, gentlemen, you're probably wondering why I'm not wearing a shirt. And it's my human rights, guys. It's my human rights. And this is following the news from Berlin that they've said in the swimming pools there, it's equality all the way. Women can go topless as well. And apparently the women of Berlin have been queuing up for the right not to wear any top at all at the pool. And so I thought, what better thing to do on radio than go shirt free this morning?
You've come to the right place and we're all doing it. Can I say this? And I mean this. When it sounds attractive, wow, women topless at pool. See you there. I'm going to say it's probably the women you don't want to see topless, as opposed to those who you do. It's like a nude beach. We've said this all over. if I have the nude beach thinking, oh, this is going to be a great day, it ends up being like a pot-bellied European man of 56 years of age and some woman with a National Geographic look in the breast department. And it's not as exciting as it sounds when you read it, like, Berlin women go topless.
Yeah, it's as though the people you want to get the gear off don't want to do it, but everyone else is like, let's get into it. And this is the thing, I mean, when we talk about Germany and nudity, I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but we've all been to the beaches of Thailand and Bali. It's normally the blokes who are out there getting full nude, waving the German sausage around. And I got to say, apparently
the bratwurst.
The bratwurst, absolutely.
Or the Kransky. Yeah,
the Kransky. And depending on the gentleman in question. And the thing is, it comes from this belief apparently in Germany that nudity in the outdoors is good for public health. That's something that they genuinely believe. And I just wish I'd brought that up in court on the day that the chaser faced those charges for streaking in public. I wish I'd said that. It's a German tradition. You're oppressing my culture. That's my human rights.
Who wants to see someone goose-stepping naked on a beach? or hiling Hitler in the downstairs department? If you know what I mean, that's not going to be good for anyone. But people seem to be nuding up all over the place. I was watching the Oscars. Now, a while ago, you never see Audrey Hepburn come out and, get a look at her jugs. It's kind of like these dresses are see-through or made of some kind of fine netting. What's going on?
Yeah, there was a woman there with a feather, a strategically placed feather. Hunter Schafer, And Ciara, I think, had a see-through top just with a little bit of a nipple shield. And obviously, I'm wearing the nipple shields this morning because I don't want to offend you, gentlemen.
they're actually called Band-Aids, mate.
That's right. So this is a huge trend at the Oscars. And I've got to say, full credit to people who brought this in the first place, the NRL, right? I mean, they've made this the trend globally, whether it's full nude on CCTV, leaked on a mate's socials or WhatsApp, or on the balcony of the Harbour View Hotel in the Rocks on Mad Monday. A little slice of NRL culture there at the Oscars. It's good to see, MG.
You've been doing some research into some new sports. What have you found?
Well, look, I know you guys like a tight contest, and so I want to introduce to you the sport of slap fighting. Apparently, this started from Eastern European viral videos. MG's not a fan already.
All right, well, describe it to us first.
So you've got two, this is, the ladies can get on board as well. It's two people in a ring, and basically it's the Oscars recreated. One of them whacks the other one in the face. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And you hold a kind of a foam, it's almost like a pool noodle behind your arms to brace yourself. But people regularly get knocked out doing this. And the thing is, it's all about the slow-mo replay. Because someone getting their face transplanted sideways, by a slap, it's either amazing live televised action or it's a report to the NRL judiciary. I don't know which it is, but this is huge apparently. And the UFC's Dana White has funded it.
So that means he's got global ambitions for the slap fight.
That's right. It's probably coming here.
Well, he said in lockdown, he said this sport, I wouldn't even call it a sport. It's just because there's no skill about it. It's just, blokes slapping each other or girls slapping each other in the face and getting three goes at it. And in lockdown, it was really popular in Russia, and then it got, 30 million views and stuff. So he thought he'd bring it to mainstream. I think it's going to be a fizzer. I really do.
Popular in Russia is not necessarily a huge recommendation these days, is it?
But do they have, like, weight divisions? Or, like, can anyone step up and slap anyone? Like, do they have, like, sausage fingers, dinner plate hands?
Yeah, King Charles with the sausage fingers is out there just getting the snags in the face.
Imagine facing him.
It's amazing, actually.
It's like on a for those that haven't seen it, it's like when people are about to have an arm wrestle. They're across from each other. They hold onto a bar. But these guys or girls just basically stand there with their helmets behind their back. And the person winds up and goes, one, two, and then whooshka, right in the side
Right in the face. I'm just hoping that they also televise the neurologist appointments in a few years' time where they're told that they can't speak. But to me, it's the slow-mo. Anything looks good in slow-mo. I could take a spag on the desk here, gentlemen. And it would look amazing in slow-mo. That's not a test of a good sport, is it?
Spag bowl.
No, I get your point. Oh, mind you, I'd be good at this because I've been practicing for years. This has been happening at my place, usually about 3 in the morning when I come home drunk.
Mick, it's not a turkey slap. That's not what we're talking about.
Oh, that would be. Now, I'd watch that. I'd watch a turkey slapping competition.
I mean, bringing out a new sport is a good thing to see. MG, you mentioned arm wrestling. I mean, I want to see, get Perrottet and Minns in here on the show next week, and the best man wins it. Don't worry about having the election. Save a lot of money. Get them in here for an arm wrestle, and that's how MG becomes the Premier of New South Wales.
It's on the cards.
And then a slap fight.
And we're going to the Animal Kingdom now, I believe. Dom Knight.
Yes. Now, I wanted to bring you this story because I know this show is co-hosted by one of the great hard men of Australian sport in Mick Molloy, but MG also tough in his day. But I think I found an even tougher creature than the new blokes. So they wanted to bring 50 bilbies into the Pilliger Scrub. It's this big area of kind of wilderness near Coonabarabran in regional New South Wales. And they couldn't do it for 5 years because of one red fox called Rambo. Now, get this. They tried to kill the fox. They had 10,000 traps, 3,500 baits, 73 stakeouts, 55 days of scent tracking dogs, 97 cameras they put in there, and they still couldn't catch him. They brought in Indigenous trackers, ex-military assassins, and they could not get this fox. Absolutely amazing, which makes me think, why are they trying to get... The fox is surely the creature we want to keep. Like, put that exactly. Fox in Origin. Queensland won't get near him.
Forget the bilby. The bilby's endangered anyway, it's its own fault. Hey, bilbies, you snooze, you lose. On the other hand, we've got a fox out there who is... A fox out there who is going bonkers. And, what about, did anyone think of a hunt?
the old British fox hunters out there.
The old British fox hunters. But what about this? But it's us on Shetlands.
That would be fantastic.
Well, what about dwarves on Shetlands on a fox hunt to find...
Just let the greyhounds at him. Let the greyhounds loose, I say.
I think they had dogs as well. They threw everything at this guy. The problem is they nicknamed him Rambo. And if there's one thing we know about Rambo, you cannot kill Rambo. They're still making sequels. You know when the last Rambo movie was made? I missed it. 2019. They called it Rambo Last Blood. And there's no way that's the last Rambo, right? Those movies are going to go on forever. So they think that this fox has now just died of natural causes. They couldn't get the fox. But somehow, Mother Nature, there's no way that fox is dead.
No way that fox is dead. That fox is, that's what he wants you to think.
That's what he wants you to think until the sequel crops up. And you'd think that a country that lost two wars to emus would think twice before taking on wildlife, don't you reckon?
What does a fox say?
A rabbit-proof fence? Sure. Try and catch one fox and you're cooked. Well, that is the story of the week from the animal kingdom as far as I'm concerned. Dom, thanks for joining us. Anything to plug, please, sir?
Oh, Chaser Report podcast every day of the week.
Which
if
is going gangbusters. Oh, yeah. And at this time, close to an election, and I'm guessing there's an extra air of interest.
There is a bit
around
say.
The podcast. So tune in, make sure you do it. Educate yourself.
Tick tock, tick tock. Checking the latest online. No. It's Mick Talk.
I spend so much time scouring the platforms to see what is ringing people's bells, what's tripping their trigger. And I've found this story, and this will spark fierce debate, MG. A young single woman did a runner on her date, her first date with a man, because he made a mistake, a $4.50 mistake. And opinions divided. But what he did was he didn't add cheese to his meal for an extra $4.50. Yeah, and she went, what a cheapskate.
Yep.
Here she's explaining herself.
Why am I doing this to myself? He said, I'm going to take the burger. And the waitress asked him, okay, how do you like your burger? And do you want some cheese on your burger? And he asked, is this going to be extra? And she says, yes, it's $3 extra. And he said, okay, then never mind. And he's like, oh my God, you have to pay extra for everything these days. And I'm like, yeah, it's New York City. Wow. And once I was satisfied, I got up, I just paid the bill and walked out of the restaurant. And I texted him, the check is taken care of. You should have gotten the cheese. And I blocked him.
Good girl. Still, you've done a runner, you mole. But now, where do you stand on this? If you, I think he's making a good point. I'll tell you why. I hate paying extra for shit you should be getting for free. I'll give you an example. Sauce. Tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Hi, do you want some tomato sauce with that? Yes, I do. Well, that'll be... Are you kidding me?
25 cents, yeah.
Is there anything more un-Australian than being charged for sauce when you've already paid for the main meal? It's a condiment, ergo, should be included in the overall price.
I agree with you. I agree with you to a certain degree. I'd agree with you, yes, read the sauce and stuff that you don't have to pay extra for, but in this young lady's predicament, with a bloke who she's just met, I think she saw the sign. I think she's looking at 5 years' time, when we want to put that extension on the house, and he says, you know what, I'll do it myself. And all of a sudden, they're waiting another five years until the extension's done. She saw her life flash before her because of one piece of cheese. And you know what? Keep running. Keep running, girl. Keep running, girl. Because don't look behind you. Keep running.
Well, if you can't, you could. Again, I'm saying to you, though, a cheese should be included in a burger.
The Americans are like that. It's not.
But it should be.
No, it should be, but
all
it's
right,
not.
What about this? Would you, Kat, if we went out for dinner and I ordered a burger and I said, can I have cheese on it? And they said, well, that's extra. I said, don't worry. And then I pulled a cheese slice out of my pocket and put that on the burger. Would you be impressed by that?
Definitely not. I would be out the door quicker than this girl was out the door.
Tell me this. Do you know, when you go to the footy and you have to pay, take out a first home buyer's loan for a hot dog and a beer, have you ever been tempted to take your own food? Do you ever smuggle your – do you do?
I have once in an Esky, in a hot thermostat. I've taken Frankfurts in a thermostat. Yeah. And yeah, me and my mates when I was
Frankfurts in a thermostat.
Yeah, 16,
you're a genius.
16, 17, and we made our own little hot dogs. We said, "Can I have a?" I said to the lady, "Can I have a bun, please?" And they said, "What? Just a bun?" Yeah, we had so we got it.
That is unreal.
Oh. And you're saying that guy's a cheapskate for not paying for cheese.
Yeah, but it wasn't a date. It wasn't a date. It was me and my mate being mischievous.
Can I tell you this? Josh, a member of our team, took me to see Ed Sheeran, and he's welcome to defend himself here. He put two cans of seltzer down his pants. Because he didn't want to pay for drinks.
Two cans of seltzer down his pants.
He wouldn't look like he was packing.
Oh, look out. Josh has joined us.
Oh,
is that true or false?
This is very... I've done it multiple times. I've snuck in a bottle of wine to places before, just chuck it down the pants and off you go.
I've got to tell you, I've got two cans of seltzer down my pants right now. Kick back and relax and enjoy the week that was.
Let's start with when Mick gave us a real sense of how crazy and intense it is to be Rob Hurst on the drums for Midnight Oil.
Paul Hester was a friend of mine, so I said, "What are you doing this weekend?" And he goes, "Ah, you're not going to believe it, I'm filling in for Hursty at Midnight Oil."
Oh,
mate, I said, "Look at you. You are a tiny, unfit man." I said, "This isn't Crowded House. This isn't like brushes on the cymbals, mate. This is going flat chat for 2 hours. I said, "You'll be cooked." Anyway, I saw him on the Monday. I said, "How were you?" He goes, "Mate, we were 3 songs in. My lungs were coming out my ears. I was breathing that hard."
NMG got himself banned from the Lord Nelson on air.
How much is your 3 sheets?
She's around. We don't sell schooners, by the way. We only sell pints and half pints.
Are you sure you're at a pub?
That's the way life is.
And do we bring our own shoe for our shoey?
Definitely. We won't pour any beer into a shoe, and if you wish to do so, you'll certainly be drinking outside.
Oi! Is that a threat?
Mate, now he's just barred you. He's banned under 35s and he's just barred you. Can anyone get into this pub at all?
In the discussion of your first albums that you bought led to a tale of mixed language legacy.
First album, mate?
An absolute Australian classic, The Brown Album by Martin Malloy.
Okay. First comedy album from Martin Malloy. I ran into a guy once. He said, "Look, you don't know me, but I just want to let you know I taught English to children in the Solomon Islands. There's a one island in particular where the only bit of spoken word English I had was the Brown Album, and I used it as a teaching tool. And if you ever want to go on a good holiday, if you go to this island of the Solomon Islands, every child between the age of 8 and 14 can recite that album word for word."
And your freak accident stories certainly had us clutching our pearls.
So Christmas 2021, thought we'd set up a slip and slide for the kids.
You know
where I'm going with this. Did the big dive on impact, heard the crack, felt the crack, 3 broken ribs. All the glory after Christmas lunch.
After Christmas lunch. And then, of course, the whole day's over and the kids can't use it.
I was about 8 or 9. There was a bloke called Evil Knievel. If Evil Knievel can ride his motorbike over the Grand Canyon, I can ride my scooter off the back porch, which was about 1.5 metres drop. Needless to say, where I landed, in between my legs, the Jaffs crackers weren't too healthy for the next 4 days.
Yeah, simple job of putting some towels away in the cupboard, and I had some acrylic nails. As I put the towels in, my index finger hit the top of the cupboard shelf on there, and it completely ripped my nail from the root. Not a good sight.
After the Oscars, MG took us back to his shocking red carpet experience.
I cannot believe what I was hearing. We were getting stuck into Hugh Grant. You guys were, about his attitude on the red carpet. And then you told us, what was the occasion? It was a charity boxing game.
It was for youth suicide. About to walk out into the boxing ring, and all of a sudden...
Well, we're very excited to see you out there. I don't know if the Aussies are going to win, but a lot of women have been wanting to know, do you have a big knob?
Big enough.
Big enough. That's my guy, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
And then you go into the ring.
What was that girl? No wonder I got the shit punch out of me in the first round. I'm still reeling.
And Sydney scored a big milestone win.
Sydney, according to new data in the ACCC wastewater report, has showed Sydney is the cocaine and heroin capital of Australia. Well done, Sydney.
The winner is Sydney.
Yes, we knew you could do it. This hasn't happened just because I've moved here, by the way. Point out.
We asked you about pocket money, but one caller really decided to go on a different path and totally dobbed MG in.
Up at Star of the Sea, where I actually met MG, and they're up in the penthouse up there. I must admit, when I first saw MG, thought he was organising lunch for his family. He ate three hamburgers and like two plates of chips. So,
Jesus. Oh, we've got a whistleblower here.
Yeah, Dougie, you got to
up and talk about his brother. Daughter, and he's turned on MG.
Dougie, I thought this was a bit... Come on, mate.
Hey, Dougie, what happens on Star of the Sea stays on Star of the Sea, mate.
And as the temperature rose, the gear came off.
Crikey, you'll be in the pool a little later, MG.
I'll be heading west after the show, and I'll be getting straight into my flamingo speedos.
What's your poolside leisure wear? What is the pink flamingo speedos?
Sorry, what?
Can you take a snap of that and send it to me?
Well, I was a bit jealous seeing you in Thailand recently and with your beautiful speedos, and I don't think I can compare to that. I might have to Photoshop something in there.
I would have been barred if that was bad behaviour in Bali. They would have said, hey, put some pants on, Malloy. You're driving the locals wild with your massive lunchbox. You saw that photo. I wouldn't have got that on as hand luggage. Now,
to finish the week, Glenn Robbins joined us as we learned a few things that probably should have been kept a secret.
I did something to you backstage that you told the world about, which really upset me.
I think we were up in Darwin.
I can't believe this.
We're in a dressing room before the show, and it was so hot we had the rotary fans. And I'm sitting there in front of my fan. Glenn comes in, gets behind the fan, drops his pants, and farts into the fan, which then goes brrrr, and turbocharges the fart into the room.
I'm a fun guy, okay? Go on tour with me. You gave up that secret, and I'm not going to give up the secret about you wearing a nappy to a party. I'm not even going to bring that up.
Now, that was a social experiment. As a young boy, I did wear one of those incontinence pads to see how long I could go, and catastrophic consequences.
And that is another week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney.
Mick Malloy, MG in the Morning. Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.